This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hi, Jennifer Graham, thank you so much, and welcome to Sports Saturday here on this Memorial Day weekend. And Sean Bellent, before we go any farther, you know, obviously, in this great country of ours, this weekend, so important. Veterans Day is very important, but this is the day where we remember and honor those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. And for someone like me, who's the ultimate coward, who has no interest in doing anything military related, I am so grateful every day for those brave men and women who do have the courage to sign up and serve. And for those who have given their lives in defense of this country and to their families, thank you.
You know, every time I look at the antique radio, I get the chills because a lot of antiques you have, somebody drove that on Route 66 in the past, and it's kind of neat to imagine the past use of this. But the radio, I imagine people clustered around that radio where America, on December 6, 1941, said, you know what, Europe can't get its act together. We don't want any part of that again. We went through enough. We went to war, lost men and some women. Then we brought the flu back. And do we want to go through that again? And doggone it, one day later, they were ready to answer the call. You practically didn't need a draft. They showed up, signed me up. Hey, I'm not really 15. I'm 18, I swear. It's hard to wrap your mind around that. And
then you think about all the people, Sean, on September 12th, 2001, who did the same thing.
Oh, can you imagine? And I don't think we say this enough, and this is a drum I beat often. Okay, you can't relate to the war in Iraq. You can't relate to the war in Afghanistan. And now, you know, the outcome, I know it's a little hard to digest. It's hard to have a happy outcome in that part of the world. But the thing I think we're not grateful enough, you know, these people came back wounded, those who didn't come back. And I realize we're talking about Memorial Day. We're honoring those who didn't come back. And without those folks, there would have been a draft. And let's face it, I don't care what kind of military training you have. There are just some people that you cannot convert. You cannot convert them into someone suited for war. Now, I realize there are non-combat jobs that they could be ushered into. But what a gift, the all-volunteer military, giving the power of free will. You want to go to college, you don't have to jump through hoops. You don't have to put together some kind of sham marriage. You don't have to go to Canada if you're somebody who objects. These folks, for 20 years, have served, died, and, you know, six, seven tours. And, you know, a lot of those folks could have just called it a day after two tours, but they kept coming back, and eventually they didn't come back.
And you will, you know, everyone talks about how their service allows us, you know, to live the lives that we lead, and it's 100% true. And with everything that goes on in the world, here in America, we keep that sense, you know, COVID stuff aside, that sense of normalcy, right? With everything falling down around us, we're still able to go out and do the things that we love to do. And, you know, this is a high school sports show. And, you know, just think about just all the people yesterday out there at Gillespie. So many people out there watching that great sectional championship softball game. And it's just, it's one of those little things in this great country of ours that I think sometimes we just, you know, we almost take it for granted. It's like, yeah, I want to go check out this high school sporting event today.
Amen. And, you know, I can't say enough. And let's remember, I'm not trying to turn this into grim theater or make it too dark, but let's remember that they didn't just die. That you go back to the Civil War, and it was a long process where they just, you know, they're like Antietam. There are thousands of people on the battlefield dying, and they're assessing who can be saved, and there's just no way to tend to people on a one-on-one basis. You think of the Korean War. You think of someone slowly freezing to death, the hypothermia deaths, and, you know, prisoner of war scenarios where there was, where again, they didn't share the outcome. So these folks have made the supreme sacrifice, and some, I mean, can you imagine D-Day hopping out of a C-47 and the Germans are firing in every direction? So number one, you're parachuting at night into this wild French country. All of the hedgerows and everything else. Hopping out of a plane and you're being shot at. Then you got to land in hostile territory. And then you got to somehow find your buddies in the middle of the night. I don't know what training. I don't know what pushes those buttons.
Special group of people, man. No doubt about it. And obviously there will be all sorts of Memorial Day services around the listening area. So, you know, find one close to where you're at and go remember those who have given their lives so we can live the life that we do here in this great country.
Amazing.
Of America. But Sean, as we turn the page now and focus it on sports, we got a pretty nice show lined up today. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to catch up with the Smiths, Michelle and Jeremy, as the Gillespie Minor softball team lost in the sectional final yesterday. The Gillespie baseball team lost in the sectional semifinal on Thursday. So we'll talk to both the Smiths really about the great place that minor baseball and softball is in, because they both had very limited seniors on their roster, a lot of talent coming back. So we'll talk to both Michelle and Jeremy Smith about that. We're going to catch up with Hillsborough baseball coach Kyle McBrain as well, talk about the topper season that was. They're saying goodbye to a really great group of seniors that contributed a lot to Topper Athletics over the time. So we'll talk to Coach McBrain about that. And then we're going to have Earl Flack on, Sean, as they've done it again over there at McKay Napa. Chase Elliott, yeah, that the Chase Elliott, not some guy who happens to be named Chase Elliott, the Chase Elliott of NASCAR fame who drives the Napa number 9, will be at McKay Napa out there at the Industrial Park on Friday. My goodness, we'll talk to Earl Flack about that. What a get.
Unbelievable. I mean, 4 years in a row, most popular driver in the circuit. It's just amazing. And that's a lot of fun. That sponsor relationship is so interesting. And again, it just shows the clout. Okay, yeah, there's a drive around the country. There's another Napa dealer. But few apparently have achieved the success of McKay, because you see the way Napa reacts. McKay calls, Earl Flack calls, things happen.
Wheels are in motion, things are happening. So that's our lineup of guests here today on Sports Saturday. Of course, it's a big day for sports across the state. You got the boys' state track and field finals today for all three classes. You've got softball sectional championships on the line. You've got baseball sectional championships on the line for 1A and 2A. Regional championships at stake for 3A and 4A. The girls' soccer 1A state final is today. So it's just, this is a very busy week. And this, you know, Memorial Day weekend, a lot of the schools are out. Some of the schools have been out for quite some time, Sean. And that's always the fun part when you get to this part of the year if you're still playing school sports. All of a sudden, practice, great. We get to go to practice. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. It's like I graduated and we're still playing. It's just, I only have to focus. You know, I picked
my
college. You're
like a pro athlete.
Yeah, it's like I picked my college if I'm a senior, and now I only have to focus on one thing. Senioritis, all that stuff, proms out of the way. Only focus on the game in front of me. And that's a beautiful thing.
It really is. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will talk Gillespie baseball and softball with Michelle and Jeremy Smith when Sports Saturday rolls on.
It is 9:19 right here at FM 106 WSMI. More Sports Saturday coming up momentarily. Thank you to the following sponsors. They are Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond, Kirsch 24-Hour Towing in Litchfield. Call 324-2400. Hillsborough Area Hospital, your front door to a world of health care. And Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. And we're going to rejoin right now WSMI's Tim Mize and Sean Valent.
Bradford, thank you so much. Hey, we'll have Cardinal baseball for you this evening, or this afternoon, I should say, 1220, with the coverage on AM 1540, FM 106.9, and 92.9. Going to catch up with Michelle Smith here in just one moment on Sports Saturday as we got her on hold, and Jennifer will go ahead and transfer her over right now as the Gillespie Miners yesterday played in the sectional championship. It was an unearned run in the third inning by the Freeburg Midgets that wound up being the only run of the game as Freeburg won it 1-0 in the sectional final. And Michelle Smith joins us on the phone right now. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing okay. And I guess the better question is, how are you and your kids doing? Because great year, but man, that was a rough one yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we're doing all right. I just jumped in the car. We're already off to another ball field. As you guys know, we're keeping busy, so off to Jillian's season this morning in Chesterfield. But, you know, I think they're doing okay. They, you know, it was a rough one, but I told them they had nothing, you know, to hang their heads about. They had a great season. We knew it was going to be a close game yesterday, and we just didn't get a couple breaks when we needed to. And, you know, so it's tough on an unearned run with that loss, but they all worked and battled pretty hard, but they should be proud of, you know, what we came into and the season we had. So
100%. And I guess, Michelle, I guess was that probably the most important part of your post-game conversation, because you guys were huddled up out there in right field for a while. But I would imagine you wanted to really make sure those girls knew before they left the park you had a great, great season.
We did. We, you know, we conference championship, 20-plus wins, the regional championship. They wanted more, and I appreciate that about them, the drive. They were hoping to get that school record of 31-plus wins, you know, and get a chance at state, and we were pretty close to it, but just wasn't our time. We talked a little bit about, you know, sorry we're going to lose Chloe. She's a great player. But the majority of our nucleus other than her is coming back next year. And so we just want to make sure that, you know, they know that we learn from it, you know, whatever we can take out of that and what it takes to get to that point again and just reload for next year. So.
Well, Coach, I know you always have to put up with theories from outsiders, but just my thought, I look at what this team went through, a game like that, a nail biter. I have to think that, is more of a growing experience than, let's say, losing 9-8 or 6-5. Am I right on that? That kind of going through that kind of tense seven-inning battle?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Joe and Jim and I have seen a lot of those 1-0 ball games, you know, unfortunately, in a sectional over the last 17 years. And it hurts. It's frustrating, but it's also, yes, I think, you know, it's definitely a learning lesson. It's you know, we've been talking to him the last couple, you know, weeks about at this point it's, you know, anyone's ball game. You got to play hard, and hopefully we're playing at our best. And I think they were. The defense has really improved throughout the season tremendously from where we started, and they were just playing together well as a team. The momentum, you know, and even when we weren't hitting, we were able to scratch out a few runs and play great defense behind Emma. And I think Emma, you know, always did her job. And we knew it was going to be tight, and they did all that. We just, you know, one small mistake and cost us a run, and it happens, you know. And it's frustrating for the kid that it happens to, of course, but it could be anybody on that team, you know. So, but, you know, we've seen that a lot, and we just have to, you know, again, learn from it and hope that they're ready to go the next year. You know, if you listen to all the talk, like you said, that Freeburg was, you know, this big hitting team and obviously had dominant pitching, and I think they saw from that semifinal game that, hey, we, you know, we play really well, we can be right in it with them. And I think that was a great thing to see with them, that we just came out and gave our best game, and you know, that's all you can ask of them. And so, you know, to go against a tough Freeburg like that, and really Emma, you know, didn't give up any hits for, so, you know, we're very proud of the effort there. So, you know, I can't ask for any more than that.
And obviously, Lizzie Ludwig, she was the real deal for Freeburg. Probably 6'2". And, I mean, a pitcher that big, by the time she's letting go of the ball, it feels like it's already on top of you. But, Michelle, I thought her changeup was one of the most dominating changeups I've seen in quite some time. That pitch was nasty.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Emma flicked one at it and about went over the fence. early on, and I think that, you know, I was like, oof. And you know, it's one of those things. That's when you have a good changeup, it helps keep hitters off balance, and you know, then you're swinging at those. But she definitely got us with a changeup several times yesterday, and that's what good pitchers do. So, you know, I'm proud of them for battling. And we didn't have we were putting the bat on the ball quite a bit. We just didn't get those little bloops or the line drives in a gap or whatever when we needed them. But yeah, she definitely was getting us with that changeup yesterday. So, but they did, you know, we knew she liked to work low and in and out. And I think they did a good job of, you know, kind of battling that off yesterday. So.
Well, I guess the one commonality you have with Freeburg, a baseball state champs, great softball program, obviously Gillespie, the same scenario, strong in baseball and softball. Does success somehow just kind of emanate from diamond to diamond? Is there some way you feed off each other, the two programs?
Yeah, well, you know, we have a little competition in our house, I guess, in that sense. You know, obviously we support each other, but and you know, the girls and the boys, you know, interact with each other obviously at school and kind of, you know, drive each other a little bit too. But yeah, of course we're both super competitive, so we like to see who's, you know, we keep pushing each other to get better and you know, getting better at different aspects of the game and finding ways to get to kids and make sure that they're improving on their season. So yeah, we have a lot of fun little banter going back and forth.
it's such a fun combination to have you, the softball coach, and Jeremy, the baseball coach. And I think now we're going to do a little combo here, Michelle, if it works out, if Jeremy could hop on here, because while the softball team got to the sectional final, fantastic, the Gillespie baseball team, of course, won the regional, made it in to the Pleasant Plains sectional. And Jeremy, much like your wife's softball team, you got a lot of talent coming back for your baseball team next year.
Yeah, we got everybody coming back but Gavin Griffith. So we feel confident in and Zach Reinisch. I keep forgetting about him because he was hurt for the last month or 6 weeks of the season, it seemed like. But we feel good with the nucleus we got coming back, just like the softball team.
You know, this is going to be a little bit on the ridiculous side. I warn you in advance, but I don't think the IHSA would be kosher with it. But, you know, I saw on April Fool's you had Jimmy Fallon hosting Jimmy Kimmel's show, and Jimmy Kimmel was on Fallon's show. They swapped coasts. I just think it would be fun to see you coach baseball and you coach softball, vice versa. I think that'd be fun for a day.
No,
I mean,
thanks.
It can't happen. I don't know why I even bring it up, but just a fun thought that passed through my mind.
I try to do that with him every once. He says every once in a while, like, I'll come help you and Jillian's in school. And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't know if that'd be good for
him. It's like, you're not helping. You're not helping here. Jeremy, you guys had the great thrill to win a regional on your home diamond. And it was such a great game. And you mentioned Gavin Griffith, the only senior who's able to play for you down the stretch. He gets the game-winning hit. And you talk about a memory that Gavin will have with him forever. That's it right there.
Oh, no doubt. It's nice for the team to win on your home field, but to drive in the game-winning hit with two outs in the bottom of the seventh, walk-off, there's nothing better than that, and he'll take that with him forever. So, yeah, it was pretty special for him.
Well, just nice to see the weather finally cooperate and teams finally getting in a groove and just getting that comfort zone, I guess. You kind of felt that last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody deals with the weather, you know, in their own way, and it was definitely a brutal spring for everybody. So finally getting some sun and being able to get outside on the field and, you know, just do what you do on a daily basis is always nice.
Jeremy, you got a lot of talent on your roster, a lot of dudes who they just look like ball players, none more than Cameron Link. And I know we were talking during the regional week just about how good of an athlete this kid is.
Yeah, Cameron is all-around good athlete. I know on the basketball floor he excels, and he definitely carried us at times throughout the season. And, you know, somebody made the comment to me after the sectional, they didn't realize how big, you know, just size-wise we are. You know, between him and Bryce Hunsbein, and even Bryce Booz. I mean, we got some big kids, and, you know, people didn't realize, I don't think realized how just big and physically strong, talented we were.
What will the summer look like for both of your programs? Obviously, with baseball and softball, the kids get on their traveling teams, and they go out and they do their thing, which is nice because you know that they're getting the reps and they're going to be getting better.
Yeah, I mean, I think the girls are, you know, probably jumping back in pretty quickly, if not, you know, maybe even this weekend. I don't know what their exact schedules are, but the majority of my girls are jumping back in and playing select this summer, so that helps. To talk to them a little bit yesterday about, you know, keep improving and keep working on the things that we discussed throughout the year and just be ready for next year. So that's nice that they jump right into it. So it'll be a little while before we see them again, but they'll have tons of time in the summer and then in the off season to work on, you know, whatever they need to get better at. And then I'll let Jeremy.
I mean, it's the same for us. I know a couple of my guys are already going to practice this weekend with their travel team. I think for them it's kind of nice to hear the coaching from somebody else once in a while, you know. They see us all day at school, another 2.5 hours of practice or at the game, and it's just, I think sometimes our voices get redundant. I know my wife's voice gets redundant at home. So I
Careful now, Jeremy, careful. Now, the final question, though, this is a hard hitter. When you guys are watching Jillian play, how nervous are you? How intense are you?
It's for me because I'm sitting in the rocking chair with my parents and mother-in-law, you know, just watching and probably having a cold one in between games. So it's easy for me. Michelle helps coach, and I let her talk about that.
Yeah, of course I got drug out there, and it's fun. It's, you know, it has its moments of, you know, having to be mom versus coach. So, you know, coaching on the field and then mom in the car trying to have conversations about, you know, what she needs to work on or whatever. I think she's probably, some days she rolls her eyes at me, and she's definitely a mini. So, you know, they always say, you know, you raise strong daughters, but it's a pain when they have the same attitude or they're exactly like you, and that, there's definitely some truth to that. But, you know, we're learning the way, so I think it's been a good experience for both of us to try to figure it out, you know, in the summer, so that when she's playing for me during the school year, you know, we kind of have that figured out a little bit. I also, you know, Jim and Joe are great with her. You know, Jim was a parent once of a softball player as well, and helped coach Kelsey in the summer, and I think, you know, he has some perspective on that and kind of takes over. He gets to be the, you know, voice of reason when mom's being too hard or, you know, expecting too much. So, but she's doing pretty good. She holds up to it pretty well. So,
fantastic. Jeremy and Michelle Smith, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time. And boy, did you guys give the minor faithful a lot to cheer about here over the last several months, and there's a lot more good times in front. So thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we look forward to seeing both minor baseball and softball next year.
Thanks, guys. All the support. We really enjoy seeing you guys at games, so it's great to be a part of that. And we really appreciate all the support that we've gotten over the last week at home on our fields. We've had a huge fan base, and that was great to see all those people out cheering us on. So we just want a huge shout-out to the community for that. So we really appreciate it.
Good stuff. Jeremy, Michelle, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time today.
Thanks,
that
guys.
Is the Smiths. Neat combination to have husband and wife coaching the baseball and the softball at the same school. They're never home this time of year. I mean, they spend so many hours out on the diamond in the field, getting the fields ready between the practices and all that. I joked with Michelle last night, they could put their house on Airbnb during the spring because they're not there. They're not using it.
You know, it's underused hotel. It's an underused Airbnb.
We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. When we come back, we will catch up with Hillsboro baseball coach Kyle McBrain when Sports Saturday continues.
It is 9:35 right here on FM 106. Thank you to Sports Saturday sponsors. Without them, we couldn't have this program for you every week. They include Huff & Sons Funeral Home and Raymond Hillsborough and Farmersville. Mark Stern, your state farm agent in Litchfield. Nancy's Pizza in Litchfield and Prairie Town Feed Service. They're serious about their service. Once again, with Sports Saturday, here's WSMI's Tim Bison, Sean Bellet.
Hi, Jennifer Graham. Thank you so much back here on Sports Saturday, and happy to have with us on the phone right now Hillsborough baseball coach Kyle McBrain. And coach, thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning. And I wanted to have you on today because you had a group of seniors on your team, boy, just beyond baseball, across the sports spectrum at Hillsborough, that group of seniors, boy, did they give a lot.
No doubt about it. We were very blessed to have those guys, and we're definitely going to miss them.
What was it? I mean, they all brought different things to the table, but it seems like consistently they all had that drive to really just be great.
Oh, no doubt about it. And again, like you said, across, you know, whether it was soccer, football, basketball, just a little bit of everything, golf. Yeah, they were just a competitive group and a talented group.
Okay, coach, I don't know what forest the bat makers went to, but, boy, those bats were magical at the end. Hillsborough Lumber Company, I guess you could call it, the offense really was firing on all cylinders before it was all said and done.
Yeah, no doubt. We kind of struggled early with consistency, but I think everybody kind of went through that with the way the spring started out, cold and rainy, and you play two games and then take a week and a half off and then try to play again. So I think just those guys getting consistent in bats and stuff like that, their real talent started to show.
You know, Terry used to always talk about when it comes to postseason, it's all about the draw. Sometimes you just get a dirty, rotten draw. And you got, I don't know if it was a dirty, rotten draw, Kyle, but you didn't get the best draw.
No, and, you know, I don't know if there was a good draw in our subsectional. It was pretty stacked up and down. And we had played Modern Day early in the year, and we kind of battled with them a little bit, but it was kind of one of those games where both teams were kind of low on pitching, so it was kind of a slugfest. And we knew we were going to have to hit, and we came out and scored a couple early, but then, of course, they go on and win the regional. So they were definitely one of the better seven seeds in the state.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, people might look at the record and not realize how good they are. I mean, they definitely schedule some of the tougher competition in that Metro East area, and definitely will go up a class. I mean, as an independent, I think they're independent again, if I recall right. But they got a pretty killer schedule.
Oh yeah, their record definitely didn't reflect their ability, that's for sure. So, nope, we got a tough draw, but you know, you take what you get, and if we win that one, then who knows?
And as we spin this forward for you guys, Carl, obviously you say goodbye to a very productive group of seniors, but the cupboard is not bare at all. And then you put on top of that the junior high program, and I would suspect, I mean, the junior high baseball season is just a few weeks away. It starts basically at the 1st of August. So just talk a little bit about now having the junior high program and how you kind of see that working in concert with the high school program, because you're in charge of both.
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to have the chance to run both the high school and junior high programs over in Staunton, and I definitely saw the advantage of it and have definitely, you know, kind of been on the push to try to add it here. And it's not even just from a baseball perspective, but getting to know, build relationships with the kids and the parents, and they know what to expect, we know what to expect. It really helps streamline your high school program.
What was your favorite part of aspect of this team, coaching them through the season?
I think our ability just to bounce back. That's something that, you know, in baseball, things can, they don't always go your way. And sometimes it, you know, it's one of those games where you do everything right and you're still wrong. You get a line drive right at somebody. And, you know, it's, I think our resiliency and the ability to bounce back, not just this year, but last year. I mean, I think last year we started 2-7 and ended up 12-10, and this year we started 3-7 and ended up 15-10. So I think as a baseball coach, you always kind of hope your team has that quality of never quit. So I think that would be the thing I'm most proud of.
Mikhail, you kind of alluded to it in the regional where both teams were kind of strapped for pitching. But as I think about what you got coming back in terms of pitching next year with young Nathan Matush and then obviously Declan Riggs, you're talking about two high-end left-handed pitchers right there.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to watching those guys continue to grow. And, you know, we've got Jay Stewart did a nice job for us at times this year, and we think he has the ability to step up and be at least our number two or three. So, no, we're, like you said before, the cupboard's not bare, but we do have some big shoes to fill.
Well, you mentioned stumbling out of the starting gate a little bit, at least record-wise. That Montgomery County tournament's kind of especially when you have, you know, the typical weather issues early in the season. That just seems to be a great launching pad. Okay, we're not where we want to be, but, boy, it's just like a nice energy boost if you do well there.
Yeah, exactly. And, there, you know, it's kind of cool to look back and see all the great players that have come out of this area. And, you know, it's one of those things where there's a little bit of pride involved, and anytime you can get your picture taken with a plaque at the end of a tournament kind of gives you a little bit of a bump. So I do think that was kind of the start of something. Maybe the guys started to believe a little bit, and we just kind of took off from there.
It's always great to see Hillsborough in the county tournament because, of course, with Stewie, he wasn't bringing the toppers. Stewie had his own reasons, but I think you made the comment to me when I was talking to you at that county that, when I was in school, I didn't even know this thing existed.
No, I didn't. I honestly, I thought it was something new that I saw 1 year Hillsborough won it when I was over in Staunton. I'm like, what the heck? When did they start this? So, no, he kept that hidden pretty well. I was just lost in the clouds. I'm not really sure, but hey, we know it's there now.
Well, you definitely know it's there now, absolutely. And I guess, Kyle, you know, we always hear, and I know you're just as intense with baseball as you were with the other sports, but it's such a different energy in the spring season, just the way it falls in the calendar and where school is at. It's just a different mentality in the spring sports.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things, and you'll see it from time to time against teams you're playing, and hopefully it's not your team, where, you know, the spring's starting to kind of wear on and kids are looking forward to summer, and you kind of have to keep them engaged. So, you know, we'll do some stuff, bring a boom box out to the field and hit BP, just something to kind of keep them fresh. So I really think our guys were all in till the end, and that's really the goal of every baseball coach, is try not to lose them towards the end.
Hey, Kyle, the South Central Conference this year, it was a great league. Tri-champions with Gillespie, Southwestern, and Greenville, but night in, night out with those South Central games, it was a battle.
Oh, no doubt. There were not many many gimmies, I'll tell you that much. Even, you know, we played Litchfield, and the Hires kid was throwing, and he was striking us out left and right. It was, you know, it was one of those leagues this year where it was really balanced and really competitive. And, you know, it was one of those things where you look at the final standings and who won a regional, and it could have been anybody.
Kyle McBrain, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time talking Topper baseball today. We always love to catch up with you. And, hey, the next season, it'll be here before we know it.
Oh, yeah. Looking forward to it. Thanks a lot, fellas.
All right. That is Kyle McBrain, the head baseball coach for the Hillsborough Hilltoppers. But more importantly, Sean, also the junior high baseball coach. And, you know, we see it at Southwestern with Brian Hanslow. Comes right off the top of my head. When you've got the same guy, and I've always said that's the secret to Greenville's success, is they've got the same coaching staff, not necessarily the same head guy, but the same group of guys on multiple staffs. And when you're using the same kids through multiple sports, you can't put a price on how important that is from a comfort level from the kids' perspective.
You know, you always hear like the Cardinal way or the Oriole way, and it's the guys you don't talk about, the instructors, and, you know, just really imposing a school of thought on fundamentals and stuff like that. And when you keep the same cooks in the kitchen, then you got the Topper way.
That's exactly right. We need to get to one final break here on
Sean Connery
Saturday.
Say that. On Topper way.
When we come back, we will get Earl Flack with us as Chase Elliott will be in Litchfield on Friday. We will talk with Earl Flack of McKay Napa in just a moment.
948 FM 106 WSMI Sports Saturday sponsors. Thanks to all of them. Garrell's Auto Body and Repair. See Dwayne Garrell doing it right since 1982. Woods Basement Systems. Litchfield National Bank, the friendly bank with three locations to serve you. And Montgomery Nursing and Rehab in Taylor Springs. Here again is WSMI's Sean Valent and Tim Mize.
All right, Jennifer, thank you so much. And we're happy to be joined on the phone right now by Earl Flack with McKay Napa. And Earl, you did it again, man. You got Chase Elliott coming to Litchfield. Awesome stuff.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys this morning?
Hey.
Reporting from downtown India. So heading out to the 500 this weekend. But, yeah, Chase Elliott coming to Litchfield is a pretty big deal for McKay Napa Auto Parts and the city of Litchfield and all race fans in the area.
Just talk to us about how this came to be.
Well, with our relationship with the racing, Napa-sponsored car, part of our sales purchases go into advertising. So I reached out to Napa corporately and said, hey, how do I get Chase Elliott to Litchfield for our new facility, do some autograph signing, meet and greet customers? And they said, hey, let's see if we can make that happen. So started about 4 months ago, started putting a plan together. So our team worked hard, and he will be there next Friday from about 11:30 to 1 and sign some autographs and have some hero cards to sign. So we're pretty excited about that.
And, you know, Earl, the presence of Napa in NASCAR racing is impressive. You know, the manufacturers always made it such a priority. Ford and Chevy and Dodge tried to get in the mix there for a while. And of course, Toyota made a point of it. And it just seems like Napa's really led the way as far as getting their name out there. And it seems like it's translated to success and really keeping market share because I know it's a competitive business.
Yeah, you're correct there in that statement. Yeah, Napa has always supported NASCAR, coming from the roots down in the Carolinas and the Virginias, and always stayed true to their true to themselves. So Napa has always been a corporate sponsor. It goes back to Darrell Waltrip and other drivers that's driven that car. But teaming up with Rick Hendrick, one of the best owners out there in NASCAR, was a great thing. And I've been to his facility there in North Carolina, and what a great facility. Of course, he has other cars on the track, but the relationship between Napa Auto Parts, their customers, their jobbers, and the manufacturers is good. So yeah, it's truly our sport. Napa dominates the 90s, the most popular driver. It comes from a great legacy from Bill Elliott. Most people know from Million Dollar Bill, they called it back in the day. So it's a great relationship they have with Napa and us and the ownership team.
Now Chase Elliott will be at the distribution center on Friday. Will the car be there?
Well, that was one of the hiccups we had since this day. Napa's on most races, but in St. Louis, it's going to be the Hooters race car. So it'll actually be the Hooters car. So I'm told he's going to be down in the Fairview Heights area at some point. So Napa's on the car, so we weren't able to get the Napa car there. It was already spoken for somewhere else. So he'll be there in person with his handlers and his PR people and people from the racing team, but the car will not make it. So a little bit disappointed. We wanted to have the car out there in the parking lot. We just blacktopped it last week, and it's ready to go. So out at the new distribution center is going to be a cool place to have it.
If only we had a Litchfield Hooters, we could have maybe cut a deal.
Well, I tried to get the Hooters car, to be quite honest with you, and the Hooters girls, because I like their chicken wings.
Yeah, that's right.
that didn't work out so well for us, but we'll take him and the driver. And then actually, I have to give a plug for Bill Bacchanal Racing. We're having the drivers Derek Krause and Colby Howard, the number 19 and 91 Napa sponsored truck at Litchfield also on Thursday from 4 to 6. So we will have the trucks that will be in the race at Worldwide Technology on Thursday night at Litchfield store. So stop by and see the drivers. We'll have the drivers, the trucks. You'll have a hauler there. So we've got a big racing weekend coming up here in Litchfield.
Well, that's just awesome. And I don't care if it's the Napa number 9 or one of the trucks from the truck series. That is cool stuff. And when you see that stuff up close and in person, it just has a completely different feel than it does on television.
You are spot on. When the customers, especially the kids, when the kids get behind it, mom and dad brings the kids out, and they get to see the truck and And sometimes you can get it fired up. It's kind of cool. It gets them real personal, up and close and personal, like you said. So you'll actually see the trucks that are on the track that Saturday in St. Louis. These are not show trucks. These will trucks be running on the track at Worldwide Technology. So, yeah, bring out the kids, get some autographs on Thursday as well. We'll have some pork patties and some water on the street. So we've got a great weekend coming in Litchfield, Illinois. I hope the traffic – I've talked to the city about traffic control, so we'll see if we can control the cars coming and out, but we're expecting a big crowd.
Well, I'll tell you what, that Worldwide Technology Raceway, that's a great generator. Yeah, what a story. I know when they tried to go big time, added seating, they had that first bush race at the time. The surface broke up. You had chunks of asphalt break up. They had a power outage. Dover Downs eventually, you know, just decided, hey, we're going to call it a day. And that thing was days from the wrecking ball. Boy, Francois and those guys, that's an unbelievable story, isn't it? I mean, we talk about comeback players, but that's about as big a comeback story as you find in sports.
Yeah, you're spot on there. We deal with Chris Blair and Declan O'Neill. We're also sponsors of the track down at Napa Auto Parts. So you'll see Napa on the back on the drag strip, and you'll see it on turn three or turn four. So we have a sponsorship with the track locally, so it's really nice to have them there. But you're right. That track was destined, and now it's the only track in the United States that has all four races. It has the Indy race, the truck race, the NHRA, and the NASCAR. So they've had it for 3 years, so I hope that they do well and show America that there's racing in central Illinois and Missouri, and it'll be a good event for them and just continue to grow.
So, Earl, just one final time, give us the details on what's coming up next week.
Okay, so Thursday, we're going to have from 4 to 6 at our Litchfield store, that brand-new store, Derek Krause, Colby Howard, driver of the 1991 Napa Spire and Gates trucks for autographs, hero cards, and some food. So that's Thursday, June 2nd. And then Friday, June 3rd, we'll have Chase Elliott from about 11:30 to 1 at the new distribution center at 120 South Industrial Drive for some autographs. We're hoping that we can get everybody through the line. It does say first come, first serve. We're going to see what we can get done. But parking will be on the lot. We'll try to direct traffic. So next Thursday to Friday, mark your calendars. Litchfield will be loud and proud. And I hope to see you there.
Absolutely. Earl, we'll let you get back to the 500. Who you got in the Indy 500 now?
Well, that would be my friend Rossi. He came to the dinner last night, Alexander Rossi. He qualified 20th. But it's only a few miles off the pace, so he's hoping for a good race on Sunday. So we'll be rooting for the number 27, Alexander Rossi, Napa-sponsored car.
There we are. Beautiful. Earl Flack, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and congratulations on the big Chase Elliott get.
Perfect. Thank you guys for having me this morning.
All right. That is Earl Flack with McKay Napa. And, yeah, that's big time. And Thursday now, the truck series will be then, as you heard Earl say, the trucks that will actually be on the track Saturday will be in Litchfield on Thursday. Wow.
I'll tell you what, and for people that don't watch the truck series week to week, that's pretty entertaining. And the neat dynamic there is the truck series is this mix of these, Archie Bunker veterans who have been around the circuit and these super young kids with all the talent in the world. It's just an interesting dynamic, and I'll tell you what, I saw a truck race when they first started that green-white checkered finish, and down there at Gateway at the time, as they called it, it just phenomenal. So if you don't watch truck series week to week, it's a great thing to watch in person, and they're fun to look at in person. You talk about touch a truck. These are just great events, and, you know, these guys, even if you like the truck series guys, if you don't know, you become an instant fan. I mean, they're so great to talk to. You can relate to a guy, you know, drives a car. You like to drive a car fast. It's kind of a little harder, you know, like you talk to a football player. Well, you're not going to, you don't run a post pattern or a flag pattern or dig route.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little more commonality with that kind of athlete.
No doubt about it. So that will be Thursday at the new store in Litchfield, the truck series. And then Friday out at the new distribution center, Chase Elliott will be there. From about, what, 11:30 until 1,
yeah,
signing autographs.
11:30
so.
To 12:30, the meet and greet period, and that distribution center is a great story. I mean, making it through the pandemic, getting it staffed, and, you know, great things happening out there in the industrial park area side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. So take advantage of the great opportunity coming up in Litchfield next week. We're just about out of time here on Sports Saturday. We're not going to have time for Jennifer's gripes today, but, you know, she doesn't have too many. I don't think, at the moment. She could come up with something. But she was very concerned that the Brewers were going to sweep the Cardinals after Milwaukee won Game 1. She was very, very concerned. But I told her, they're not going to get swept, Jim. They might lose 3 out of 4, but they're not going to get swept.
Oh, man.
Well, we'll see what Liberatore does. I mean, he was roughed up his last outing. I just look, he's got 7 ERA. I mean, the Cardinals were up, what, 5-0, I think. And they ended up, I mean, barely getting by. They got that 5-4 win. So we'll see what he does on the mound today.
Well, he's got all the upside in the world with young Matthew Liberatore.